Hello and welcome to episode 526 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. We'll start with the one being attacked by a black cat.
Hello, I'm Joey Moser. Welcome to my home. And here is, oh, there he goes. He knows I can pick him up. My cat might make an appearance. His name is Wadsworth, but he is not on the internet. I am, and you can find me at Joey Moser 83.
You need an Instagram for him or something.
Yeah.
You have one for Neville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where's the one for Wadsworth?
Jason's just like, you know what, Neville, if your dad decides to keep updating your Instagram, you might become famous. And I was like, shut. Way to put something else on me. And I hope you heard that.
Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere at Hey Dude Meg. I also hope that Joey has a stalker that's like, oh my God, I'm inside his house. I'm going to dissect everything that's on his wall.
Thank you.
It's me. I mean, I'm the stalker.
How very Ed Gein of you.
It's one of two things. It's either gay art or an actress winning best actress.
Yes, that's true. Mm. Yeah.
Like, gay. Yay. Whole wall of drag queens over here.
There we go. See?
If I ever had a stalker, though, they would actually get into my house and be like, hey, I'm here. Oh, my God. What the fuck?
I'm scared.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Welcome. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. We have a lot to talk about this week, so I think we should hop right to it. We have a little bit of a poopery podcast. So I wanted to start with Diane Keaton, who passed away shockingly early. Like, you know, some, you know, celebrities, when you understand that is coming, like with, you know, even though he died in a very weird and horrible way, Gene Hackman, you knew that was coming. The man was 90. And didn't look.
He was
great.
Beyond 90, I think.
Yeah,
he was,
yeah,
yeah.
Jack Nicholson, you know it's coming any year now. Like, but Diane Keaton, in her 70s, you know, just looked to be in the prime of health. Looked fantastic every time I'd seen her. Obviously, we don't know. I don't think we know yet the cause of death. But as soon I got this bizarre, contextless tweet from Jalal that's like, I didn't know she was that old. I'm so shocked. And I'm like, okay, who died? Because I don't know what you're... Because I was driving a car at the time, and he says, Diane Keaton. And I'm like, have you talked to Megan? Is she okay? And that is the first thing I said. So what I wanted to do was
Thank you for caring.
I knew... there are two people that I think, if you want to know Megan, in my opinion, as someone who has known her for 10 years, not Joey, who's known her half his life... But as somebody who is over half his life, as somebody who has known you for 10 years, if you want to know who Megan is, two people. One, Tina Fey, especially Tina Fey and 30 Rock.
Yes.
And two, Diane Keaton and Everything.
Yes, and Everything. I literally, when I looked at my phone, I went, no, no, no. Like, that is exactly what I said, because I'd just gotten out of Spider-Woman. I'm just going to call it Spider-Woman. And I was so excited, exhilarated from that movie. I think I was texting Joey, and then I saw that, texted Joey again, and was like, Diane Keaton, oh my God. And then I called my mom as I relay in the little piece that I wrote up that, like, you know, she's like family, Diane Keaton, and so many people, oh God, the tributes are still coming in, you know, and that happened Saturday, and my feed is still filled with Diane Keaton stuff. And also could be because, you know, I'm a Diane Keaton enthusiast, but like, I feel like it's more people that like maybe weren't fans that were realizing they were fans after the fact. But I'm still very sad about it. And my dog ate my remote, and I'm waiting to get my new remote
again?
Back. This is number 7. And I'm waiting so I can watch Baby Boom and Love and Death and stuff. And I am just like waiting for the remote should come. It should have come yesterday, and I'm waiting for it today. And I'm just like, I want my
remote. You should order more than one.
Yeah, I'd have one on standby.
Well,
I
I
would
also
keep
bought.
one on my person.
Does your TV not have buttons on it in the back or something? I don't know how it works in the back. It's hard. And this is a very Diane Keaton type of story, actually, now
Yeah.
that I think about it. But
Well,
I bought no chew spray that I'm going to put on on the remote so the dog will not want to chew it. So that's the plan. That's the new plan. Yeah.
wow, seven.
Yeah.
So, what I thought we'd do to start off with is talk about some of our favorite films of hers. I mean, Megan, I know yours, one of yours is going to be the Love and
Love and
Death.
Death.
Love and Death,
Yes,
yeah.
Love and Death.
But you know, go around and sort of say kind of what film was our introduction to Diane Keaton and what is our favorite. And then, of course, you two have seen Kiss of the Spider-Woman. I have listened to the soundtrack. So you guys can talk about the film. We've got Monster, the Ed Gein story, and well, I want you to know that I'm really sad and I'm gonna go skin my mother, okay? Sorry. I cannot dig my mother up. She is ashes. Sorry, that was too dark. And then Megan, talk about the Chair Company, a new
Yes,
show.
we'll
So
talk about that too.
we go dark and then let's end light. And then, of course, with a flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. So, Diane Keaton, that's my background is black in honor of Diane Keaton. Joey, since Megan has written an entire piece, Megan this way has written an entire piece about Diane Keaton, which everyone should go and read on the site. Joey, what was your first exposure to Diane Keaton, and what is your favorite film if they are not the same?
I honestly think the first this isn't I guess maybe the first thing that I remember seeing her in is the gayest thing that I could see her in
First Wives Club.
Life Club. Because that came out in like 96.
Yeah, I think
And
so.
I was like 12 or 13. No, I was 13 and like a little faggot. I was really obsessed with it. That was, and she was always the one that I liked the most because she was the nice one. She was the pushover. She was I could like the amount of times that I have very dramatically and without context just gone that no one knows what that is when she's yelling at Seventh Heaven pedophile dad and Marsha Gay Harden for their affair. So that is the first introduction that I had to her, I think. And I just love how fucking Christ. I love how sorry, cat. We are eulogizing an icon. I just loved how awkward and embarrassed she was at that as that character. I just thought that was very endearing and sweet. My favorite performance of hers that I realized that I really loved her though was Manhattan Murder Mystery. That is my favorite. That's my favorite He Who Must Not Be Named movie, Woody Allen. I just rewatched it like a month ago, and it was just she's so like fearless in that movie. She's a character who doesn't want to I would say doesn't want to be like shoved aside, but kind of is. It's the kind of character who is so smart and really gutsy, which I would find out later is a lot of her characters, a lot of her that she puts into her characters. A lot of other things, like I love her. I was watching Father of the Bride today, because she's just so lovely in it, and just looking at her filmography. One of my other favorites is The Family Stone. She does, and I tweeted this, but I don't know if people understand what that is, but she has this really great monologue where she tells her deaf gay son that like he is more normal, I'm using air quotes here, than anybody else in part of the family. And the way that she got his attention, because his eyes were like down because he was sad, they're at a dinner table and she throws a fork at him. And after she realizes that like he's okay, and I would love to know if this is in the script or not, but it's this throwaway line where Diane Keaton just goes, "I need a fork." It's just like this really funny random thing that I love. And it's just like she's the type of person, like it didn't matter like if the movie was bad, she was always like the best part of everything. And like I don't know, hanging up.
Oh, she directed that one too. I liked Hanging Up. I know it got a lot of
I do
shit, but
too.
that was also Walter Matthau's last film, I believe. And I thought he was so good in that one. I wanted to say, I wanted to jump, or are you going to say anything? I wanted to say that my
I don't know
first
if,
one.
oh, there's a movie that I think no one knows. Well, not no one knows, but I really found it during, I think it was during the pandemic, was Five Flights Up with Morgan Freeman,
I
where
wanted to see that one too.
it's, have you seen it?
No, I wanted to see it though. I
Oh,
wanted
I
to.
love it. I rented it off of like Redbox, and it was like they're looking, they've lived in this like 5-floor walk up in New York for years. And they might have to give it up because her husband, Morgan Freeman, can't walk down, go up and down the stairs anymore. And it's just a really lovely movie. And also, I will say one of the last, the movie Palms that came out in 2019, she reminded me of my mom so much in that movie. And I don't know if it was like her hair. I don't know if it was a physical trait or not. I saw it at like a dollar theater when I lived in Rochester, and I was like alone with a bunch of little old ladies, and I just like sobbed in the theater watching that movie. So she was, I don't know, she was just like the fucking best. And I was so, I'm so upset that she's gone.
Absolutely. Megan, you wanted to jump in?
I just want to jump in and say the first movie I ever saw with her, I think, was Baby Boom. And I think like I always wanted to be that character who like has it all in some way. And like, I always figured if I had kids, they would be like bequeathed to me, like I somehow like in a Raising Helen situation, which is kind of what Baby Boom is. But I thought that that was like the dream, that she has this farmhouse and she's like on her own and she meets the hot Sam Shepard, and she's raising this kid and she's also like a businesswoman. I just thought that was like the dream. And Nancy Meyers, of course, is the one who directed that. But that was my first one, and my mom's the one who introduced me to that. So I just wanted to say that.
And your favorites is, of course, Love and Death.
Love and Death, but I also love Manhattan Murder Mystery. I think Something's Gotta Give probably is her best. Well, like overall, like if you're like, oh God, it's like that between that and Love and Death, I think I go back and forth. Like comedy, just straight comedy, like Love and Death, but like for this like really nuanced role that's like has dramatic moments and comedy is, I think Something's Gotta Give is her best one.
My first exposure to her is probably, I don't think she's been, I mean, I can't think of anything that she's been outwardly bad, and I think she's always very, very good. But my first exposure to her was The Godfather. And it probably is my favorite role of hers, not necessarily within that first film, but the way that she forced what is on paper a standard stereotypical wife character.
Yeah.
And she gradually, over the course of the trilogy, she enforced that, imbued that with strength and personality, and became something of the moral opposition to Michael Corleone. It's one of my favorite scenes in a film where The Godfather closes, where Michael has ascended to power after his father has died. And they very clearly separate her from the room. They throw her, they close his office door, and the film closes on the door shutting on her. And it is such a brilliant image that
It
tells
really,
so much in that one little shot.
and I think so many like other movies have like ripped that scene off, or just like it's always parodied. Like it's just like such an iconic scene, an
Classic.
underrated iconic scene, which if that could be anything.
It is absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know, I like I said, I don't think she's ever been outwardly bad in anything. I mean, I haven't seen her last couple of films, like The Book Club and things like that.
She's
But
fun in Book Club too. I remember that being a fun movie. I did want to say, I think it's funny that Al Pacino now has said that like he wished he would have like married her. And you know, like that, like now that she's gone, he's like, oh, I wish I would have married her. It's like
well, I don't think
asshole.
she could have. I don't
I don't
know.
think they would have stayed together anyway, because
No.
he needs to have babies in his 80s. That's his movie. Babies in his 80s.
Babies in his 80s.
I think he's having another baby, isn't he? I think he's having another baby.
80s
Is
for
he?
Brady in your
Yeah.
80s. I will say that a lot of like Diane Keaton interviews and stuff have been popping up everywhere on my TikTok with my algorithm because I was just like putting up like picture after picture on my Instagram story because I realized how sad I was as I kept thinking about it. And like I remember when she won her Golden Globe and I went back and watched it today when she won her Golden Globe for Something's Gotta Give and she was just like I've been it's so something like I love that I'm being rediscovered by Nancy Meyers playing a woman at 57 who's like easy to love or like I tweeted something about her reaction to her nomination from Marvin's Room, which I've never seen that movie. And then what was the other thing? Oh, I watched an interview with her with Oprah Winfrey that was so funny that I don't think I've ever seen where like Oprah's just laughing at her the whole time because she's such an entertaining person. So if anybody hasn't seen that, they should look it up because it's really funny.
I don't know what I was more shocked at, the death of Diane Keaton or the fact that you, Joey, have not seen Marvin's Room. Like,
I'm surprised
canon
by that
in
too.
the actressy film
Yeah.
series.
I honestly just
I haven't
forget
seen
that
it.
that movie exists because I think the reason why she laughs at herself and when they show her Oscar clip is she is wearing a capital WIG wig in that movie. But it is like, it is her, it's Meryl Streep and Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, how the fuck have I not seen that movie? I
Yeah.
don't think I've seen that movie. If I haven't, I forgot everything about it.
You should see it. It's
Who else
fine.
is in it? I
Oh,
should
it's
see it
got
too.
like Hume Cronyn, Gwen Verdon, Robert De Niro. A lot of people.
Wow.
Big cast. Big cast. Cynthia Nixon, Margot Martindale,
Have I
Dan
not seen
Hedaya.
this? Oh, I hate myself. Kelly Ripa. We were just saying people's names, so I thought she deserved it. Stop it.
Oh my God. I'll talk about this. Remind me to say something about Mark Consuelo when we get to the flash forward to the TV you're most anticipating in the upcoming week or the
Okay.
media. Anyway, as I said before, go read Megan's piece on the site about her relationship to Diane Keaton. It's very touching. So
Thanks.
and I have to ask, you didn't say this in the piece. How did your mother react when you told her to sit down?
She said, "Oh God, no." She was just like, no. I'm like, that's exactly what my reaction was. And then she's just like, I'm gonna cry. She kept saying, I'm gonna cry. And then I forget. And then I went home. I was like driving home and I'm like, I gotta call Joey. I was like, I'm gonna write this out. I knew I was gonna write out something. I asked David for his blessing so I could write an obit for Diane Keaton. And so I'm like, I gotta write this out. I'll call you back. And then she was like calling everybody she knew because we all love
Yeah,
her.
you were the
So,
one who told me I yelled in the car. We were driving to West Virginia this weekend, and like Jason was driving, and he was like, "Oh my God, what?" I was like, "Diane Keaton died." He's like, "Oh, so everything's fine in the car?" And I'm like, "Oh,
were
yeah."
you driving? Well,
I wasn't driving.
I just picture you
Pretty much, and then like, just crashed the car off of a hill.
That would have been a total Diane Keaton reaction to Diane Keaton's
Yes.
death.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that supercut of like her like not yelling
Shrieking.
and screaming, but it's like her
Yes.
shrieking? I
Yes.
watched that like 3 times in a row because it's so delightful.
I love her scene of her crying during Something's
Yeah.
Gotta Give.
The
I know
hysterical
my
crying.
dad hates it. He's like, oh, it's so
Oh,
annoying.
God.
And I'm like, oh, but like, it's so funny because I find it so relatable that
Sure.
she's just like, oh. And then she like starts to like, okay, yeah, I've got this together. And then she's like, ah. It's great.
that.
All right. Let's jump to our next topic, which will be Kiss of the Spider-Woman. So, Joey, what is Kiss of the Spider-Woman?
Gay.
It is like the
Kiss.
gayest movie ever,
Yeah,
really.
it really is. So Kiss of the Spider-Woman is an adaptation of a book that was adapted into a musical.
Nope.
And now,
That was
what?
adapted
First it
into
was
a
adapted
movie.
into a movie.
Oh, wait, hold on. Book, movie, musical.
Back
Yes,
to
that's
movie. Yep.
that is back to movie. They've hairsprayed it. We've hairsprayed it. So it is about a queer man who is, hold on, pulling up a page to look at. It is about a prisoner. His name is Luis Molina, who is played by, I lost his name, excuse me,
Tomatua, rest in
Tona,
peace.
yeah, Tona Tiwa. Who is gets a new he's arrested for like exposing himself, and he gets a new cellmate played by Diego Luna, who is a political prisoner and activist and named Valentin. And as they talk and get to know each other, you understand that Melina is in love with the movies, and in particular, he's in love with a one movie star named Ingrid Luna, who is in one movie called Kiss of the Spider-Woman, where she plays multiple parts. And it is sort of about how they use their love of her and their love of cinema to keep like hope alive till he gets out of prison. If you really think about this is a film about queer actress devotion. Sorry. So it's a the Kiss of the Spider-Woman, the movie within the movie is a big lavish musical. And it's sort of about how Melina and Valentin get closer because of this movie that Melina loves. My dog is driving the children. I'm so sorry. The children are driving me fucking crazy. That is the sort of, I think, basic plot without giving anything away, if no one has seen the movie or musical or read the book.
So, question for you. You said, and again, I haven't seen it. And there's one thing that bothered me when I listened to the soundtrack. Does Valentine have that immediately have that same adoration for that character that Molina does, or does he? Okay. Okay.
He never
He
really.
no, he never
Yeah.
really does. Like Valentin
Yeah.
is sort of he thinks that the way that like women were treated and the women's roles in movies of like 1950s musicals is very misogynistic and very it does not pave the way for equality. Whereas Melina is very much like he even talks about in a scene about how women don't want to be equal. They want to be like they want like sort of like I don't say men tell them what to do, but there's sort of thing there. I don't know, Megan, if you can remember that at all.
Yeah, I do. He says something like, but women, like, sometimes we want to be feminine. We want to
Yeah.
be look glamorous and stuff. He kind of presents a different side of it, which I thought was interesting. Because there's also more with that character too that has to do with, I don't know how much we want to go into, because I do want people to see this and discover
If
it for
they
yourself.
can find it
Yeah, I think
now.
it was hard to. It was not at my local AMC. I had to go to a different, like an
Really?
independent theater. It was not at AMC. Good Boy was not there either, which I think is very strange. But I had to seek it out. The luxury theaters in West Mifflin, actually, and the seating was very nice. It was a nice little theater. I like your synopsis, by the way. That was very good. So you liked it then.
I did. I think it takes a little while to settle into. Well, it's not even playing at the manor. What the fuck?
I know.
I think it takes a little bit to get into the switching back and forth
Yeah.
because it is Melina. Because I feel like the whole time you're watching it, you're kind of like craving that,
Yeah,
like, I
like,
want to see
where
J-Lo. I
is
want to see
she?
the, where is she? Because
Yeah.
it feels like they, in the ads and stuff, they really like, pump that up a lot. Singing and dancing and blah, blah, blah. I thought because Melina's explaining to Valentin about like the plot of Kiss of the Spider-Woman, the movie that he loves. And so Valentin keeps interrupting him. He keeps asking questions. And I feel like for me as an audience member, I was like, shut the fuck up, straight man. Just let the homo talk, complimentary, let the homo talk about the movie that he loves. Shut the fuck up. That's me just arguing with straight men on film Twitter. Shut up. But yeah, I really I liked it a lot. After I settled into it, I haven't seen the I've never seen the musical live. I've only seen like bootleg stuff here and there. And I have not seen the movie in forever. I forgot William Hurt was in it. It's William Hurt and Raul
He won the
Julia, and
Oscar.
he won the Oscar, and yeah. But I think that it, we might talk about this in a bit, but like, I think my favorite thing about the movie, I think, Tonatia is incredible. I think that they do a really good job of showing a lot of vulnerability while also showing how Melina's passion is very strong for that. And I have to say, my other thing that I loved about it is that these musical numbers, which people can take or leave, pander and ebb all they want. I'm sure I saw somebody online today be like, it's no Chicago. And it took me everything. And I was like, it's not trying to be, you dumb fuck. The way that Bill Condon directs a lot of the musical numbers, you see J-Lo from top to bottom. There is no question that she's not working her ass off. And like a lot of times, like the camera's really high up and shooting down. A friend that we went with said something along the lines of, it took him a while to understand that it's supposed to be a set. And I rolled my eyes so hard they almost fell out of my brain. But yeah, I just think that she is really electric in the movie. She's like expelling a lot of energy. I was really sort of impressed with her, and that's coming from someone who generally likes Jennifer Lopez in a lot of stuff. So yeah, I want to watch it again to look at some other stuff, but yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I also think that they don't like it's not a showcase for her. It's not like it doesn't exist just for her, which I think, not that I thought that that was going to be the case, but even like they don't have a lot of close-up shots of her of like, oh, it's Jennifer Lopez. It's like, no, she's this character in this movie. Where'd you go, Joey?
Joey disappeared. There he is.
She's this character in this movie, and like a character with it's not like, I mean, that's also Bill Condon's great direction that he knows not to be like, it's Jennifer, like let's do a close up. Like it's, they have like, you're seeing her as this old fashioned Hollywood actress. Her voice is different. Like she sounds different when she speaks. She's not Jennifer Lopez. I thought at least. I was really impressed. I was impressed with the acting across the board. I saw some people say that, like, oh, imagine if they would have had a budget. I'm like, oh,
No,
I
they
don't
did.
understand.
That's part of the problem. They had, well, they, why it wouldn't sell is it was too high
Yeah.
budget. It
And
was
I'm
like,
just
it
like,
cost 50
what else?
million.
Right. I'm like, what else would you have done? I don't understand that. But I thought that Tonatiuh, that's his name, Tonatiuh, Tonatiuh. He's really good. Like really pops. Diego Luna is always good, but like this is just another reminder of like, hey, look at him. Like I like the music. I thought it just felt like it was from today. I felt like this is an old story, but it felt like very timely. I just was really impressed. It's probably one of the best movies I've seen this year. I just really, really took to it, and I like that it's very queer and very, you're right, it is about queer people standing off of a woman. Like, it's the gayest movie of the year. Like, it really is. And that's complimentary, obviously.
About Diego Luna, first, I say this not as a dig at him in terms of height coming from me, who is short, but like there were so many times that I was actually really excited, especially towards the end when he isn't in the film. Clarence, he people play so many different people in the whatever. But when you see him like standing next to J-Lo, I was like, oh my God, they're the same height. Like, and she's in like probably gigantic heels, and I actually like that as a short person, seeing a short person like being able to hold their own with someone like J. I kept thinking that about that a lot. Taunitia is like, this is one of their first things that they've ever done, and they get to perform and dance and serenade and like be J-Lo's acting partner. I thought that was really exciting for that. I was excited for them to see that. And also the number that I love, I can't remember what the song is called, but it's the song where J-Lo as Aurora is singing about like don't look at certain things, where they're in the prison, and it's like hot men in sparkly outfits on platforms dancing, and they're like, people are gonna get electrocuted, but look
Oh,
over here.
where you
That
are.
song, Where You Are, thank you. I thought that was like beautifully staged. I will say that I saw it yesterday on a Sunday afternoon at like 4:30, and I was just like really discouraged that there was me, Jason, one of our friends, and two other people in the theater. It was just really sad.
So the reviews were good. They weren't, outstandingly raves, but there were good reviews. She got in raves. Right. Everybody has talked, even people who didn't like the film said that she's at least very good, if not great. But a film that is relatively high profile hasn't bombed like this in a long, long time. Like, it didn't even make $1 million. It opened at 1,300 screens and it didn't even make $1 million. It made $800,000, $600 per screen average. Why?
I do think marketing was a problem because I don't think, like, I mean, I know she was places, but like, why weren't they on, like, this is a political film. Why wasn't Tonatiuh on Daily Show? Why wasn't, like, places where people would, because I was telling my mother and my dad, my mom and dad about it, and they were like, oh, I want to see that. That sounds interesting, but they didn't know that it was out. Like, a lot of people didn't know, I think. Like, we obviously know because that's what we care about. But like, I think the average moviegoer probably didn't know that it existed. And I know it's not like fun like Chicago, but I think that's a terrible comparison. Like, this is a very, like, I had one of those, like, I think I felt like the end reminded me of Les Mis a little bit. Like, I had like a wow, like, oh wow, like, I know that's probably Joey's probably break his heart is like, I can't believe you just said that, but like, I just had, I really like
What a really homophobic thing to say, Megan.
it was it was I really liked the ending. I was just like very, I thought it was very powerful, and it has so many political themes going on, and I just feel like they dropped the ball by not, like, I don't know, hitting some of these places that where people would want, like, I don't even put J-Lo on Bill Maher. I don't know. Like,
Yeah, I feel like she didn't do the normal circuit that a star of her caliber would do. And it didn't even cross over. Like, I understand why it didn't make the middle America. I understand that completely. This is not a film for the average audience. This is not, somebody that would go see Tron Ares would not go see this movie, right? But it didn't do well on the coasts. It didn't do well in New York. Like, it didn't cross over to audiences that like musicals. I just, I think it is the marketing that is a huge part. The commercials that the few commercials that I saw that aired in my market, it was basically Diego Luna and J-Lo talking about oh, this is a movie, for, you know, this is that celebrates the movie musical. It's it, and they were just selling it on a does on a tagline that like nobody cares about that. Like that doesn't that's not going to bring people into the theater is to go and because if there's something that American film goers love, it's the movie musical.
That's why I'm surprised they didn't like, they should have just targeted angry liberals.
The problem with that, I think, may have been that they changed so much of it. They depoliticized a lot of it because the original stage show is much more political than what I hear about the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think this one is socially political in ways. Like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I thought. I know that there were some people that didn't like some of the changes to the character, like one character to Melina. But I just thought it felt very timely and very just like, yeah, I thought there's sometimes when they make a musical and you're like, oh, they didn't need to do this. You know what I mean? Like even we struggled with Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, because that was a I mean, I'm glad they made that into from a book to a movie, but it felt like there was it wasn't gonna resonate with audiences of today because of even though it should because of religion, and that's still a problem and people being, you know, anti-Semitic and people be like that, but it didn't kind of drive that point home. I think that was I think if I just feel like that was a book that probably came too late. We talked about that, I think, in a podcast. And but this one feels like, oh wait, no, this is actually a good time for this. This is this was the right moment for a film like this.
I think that, I mean, the movie has a lot of unfortunate political themes in terms of like, hey, we're just throwing queer people in jail. Like that is hope that's not a premonition. But I think that I've sort of said this, I may have said it on the podcast. I know I've said it to Clarence that I thought the release in terms of, first of all, I don't think they should have released it wide. I mean, it was only 1,300 screens. I was looking at the box office for this week. Like, it came in at number 12. The Long Walk, which is also a Lionsgate movie, which has been out for, let me see, 5 weeks now, was above it. It is on 100 less screens than Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Soul on Fire, the movie about I don't care what it's about anyway, but a movie that I've never heard of.
A
Conjuring
religious themed
Last
movie, I
Rite.
think.
Yeah. It just beat Downton Abbey, the grand finale. I think it's weird that it debuted at Sundance. I think it's weird that it did, like even if it debuted at Sundance, I feel like it didn't play any other festival. Like
It
if
should have,
even
I was thinking it should have been at another festival
it should have
because
been
it
at
should have been at
Telluride
TIFF. It should have been at Telluride
or
or TIFF. Yeah,
TIFF,
one or
yeah.
the other.
I think
I
TIFF is a
agree.
lot more. I think TIFF would have been perfect for J-Lo to go because they have huge movie stars like J-Lo.
Yeah, you're right. Telluride, I can't see it being like a Telluride movie, but TIFF, yeah.
Especially
I just
if
think
they're not
it's
going to play into the politics of it.
right.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know. That just all felt weird. I don't want to say it like it felt like they abandoned it a little bit, but I didn't know as someone who we see how things are marketed and who they're for, we don't, I didn't know what they were doing with it. I knew that it was coming out in October and I kept forgetting that it was coming out on
Yeah,
the
me
10th.
too.
It should have come out, in my opinion, it should have come out in New York and LA, maybe, and maybe it could have gone wide the following week, but it should have at least done something there for a little bit more friendly art house crowd. It could have played in like it could have also played in somewhere like this movie would have done really well in like Miami. I don't know. It just felt really, really strange and it felt oddly abandoned and it feels just like, well, it's out.
It would
I
have
agree.
benefited from that old-fashioned release strategy where you go New York, LA, then you go the top 10 markets, and then you go platform, and then you go wide. Platform limited, and then you go wide. That would
Yeah, I
have been.
agree.
But because what it needed to do was to build a buzz. It had nothing. It had no buzz. It didn't have her on every TV show. It didn't have fall festival circuit when all of a sudden everything else is being consumed right now is about the fall festival circuit. So it just and plus people just right now for whatever reason people are not going to the movies that much.
Right. And not even to see Tron.
No, everything is underperforming.
I'm not to say anything negative about Tron, but I don't think anyone knows what Tron is supposed to be, and that's why those movies keep on. Stop making Tron movies.
I know. I was gonna
I
say.
Jesus. It's like the whole series is about like a highlighter streak. Like no one cares. Tron Ares brought to you by Staples. No.
When Greta Lee shows up in the preview, I'm like, get her out of there. What are you doing? No.
I
It's like,
actually saw it last night with my son, and
how is it? Is it
yeah, how
good?
is it?
it gets better as it goes. The opening is really, 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 really bad, and she kind of doesn't belong in there. But it
She didn't belong in the House of Dynamite either.
no, she didn't. It's a little bit less than fine. Like the special effects are good, but it's just a
On a
mess.
poster.
The story, I know, right? The story is just the script is a nightmare, but
Yeah.
the visual effects are the score is great.
Oh, the score sounded amazing from
Yeah.
just from the trailer. I was like,
But you just keep going back to the fact that, okay, the last Tron movie we had was in 2010, and then before that it was in 1982. Why am I still seeing this? Why? What are we doing here?
And the best Tron like commentary was The Simpsons.
Yes, exactly. No.
I feel
And if
like there
you.
really needs to be another a Tron Ares poster where it just says Clarence Moy from the contending Sith. It's
It's below fun.
No, below.
I
Fine.
thought
Oh, okay.
Oh my God.
And then if you're going to make a niche sci-fi sequel to a movie that hasn't had a sequel since 2010, then you're going to cast Jared Leto in it. And that
Right.
what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Joey, you're making me seasick.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what is going on?
You bitch.
Also,
Well,
I mean, this is a different podcast, but how has Jared Leto not been canceled yet? That's a different podcast, but like,
anyway.
he's got so many things against him.
Let's jump
We could
very
list them
quickly.
right now.
We're
Sorry.
running short on time, so let's jump very quickly to do we want to talk about Monster, or do we want to just very quickly talk about Monster? Have we all seen a
I've seen
couple
one
of
episode.
I've seen
You've seen
two.
one. Okay.
Okay.
So Monster at the Ed Gein story is another in the Monster slash s series of Ryan Murphy limited series exploring bad people essentially or in the beginning state it was Dahmer. The second one was the Menendez brothers, and that is a bit complicated, I think, in its reaction to who is the monster, who is the real monster there. And this, of course, is very specific. Monster is Ed Gein, who was lived in the Midwest during the 50s and 60s, who essentially was the inspiration for Psycho, Silence of the Lambs, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, in that he liked to dig up bodies, flay them of their skin, and dance around the house wearing their skin because he missed his mother. I'm being overly simplified, of course.
We've
I'm
all been
oversimplifying
there.
it. But, I was very excited about this because I didn't know how they were going to handle it. I was very anxious to see how a Ryan Murphy production would handle that subject matter because it would require something of a sensitive touch. And I don't think that
Oh,
Ryan Murphy productions have a sensitive touch.
sorry.
But then, being a Ryan Murphy production, you all of a sudden saw, oh, they're going to go into the story of Alfred Hitchcock and Anthony Perkins, and they're going to talk about Anthony Perkins' homosexuality and his relationship to Ed Gein, and then you're going to talk about the making of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then I hear there are some
Oh, that's what
allusions
they
to,
do?
yeah, they go
Oh.
into all of the art pieces of art that this inspired. So it's talking about not only the gore of the crime, but the legacy of the crime.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I know David reviewed it for the site, and David liked the filmmaking stuff, not the Ed Gein stuff. I liked it better than he did. I don't think it's a great series, but I think it's very creepy. It's very atmospheric. I think it is told well. I don't know that I enjoy it, but I'm very compelled to watch it. I think it's fascinating, and it does get better when you get to the Anthony Perkins and Alfred Hitchcock sequences. I actually wanted much more of that. That only lasts for two episodes. I was very disappointed that it was so short. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I've seen five episodes. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, from what I've seen so far, feels kind of thrown in. I don't know where this is going to end up in terms of wrapping up the allusions to art that this has inspired, but I think I think it's good. It hasn't disappointed me. What do you guys think?
I liked the first episode. I was a little thrown off by how old is Ed Gein supposed to be in that
He's
episode?
supposed to be young. He's like early 20s, he's teenager, early 20s, I think.
Okay, because he looks so much older than Susanna Son. So that was confusing. I'm like, is he? And I'm getting like a Mice and Men vibe from him, and I don't necessarily like. I don't see him as a monster yet. He's done monstrous things, but I don't see him as like this, like he seems slow and
You don't
like
have to wait long. You'll see it in episode two.
okay, because he doesn't seem like he's all there and doesn't understand things. So I felt for him. I felt bad.
Well, that's
You're
all.
both looking at me like I'm a monster.
No.
No, I think that's
Well, I've
always
been telling you
what
that for
that.
years.
I think that that's what these shows tend to do. I didn't
Yeah.
watch all of Dahmer just because it was so dark that I couldn't get
It's
through it. I just,
grimy and well.
yeah.
Gross. It's also disgusting. Like, that
But
was
you,
probably one of the most disgusting shows I've ever seen. Like,
yes.
yeah.
And but there was a sense of, it's almost like Ryan Murphy wants to play with sympathy for the devil, that kind of thing. Not the song,
Yes.
but the act, the act of having sympathy
Yes.
for a really bad person.
Yes.
He is. I can see how you think that, because he is mentally disturbed in some way. Like
Yeah.
he has very deeply seated issues caused by his mother, caused by his upbringing. And he
Yes.
hasn't, it's the 1950s, so there's no way to deal with any of this stuff. They didn't
Yeah.
even, they buried everything and suppressed everything, and it comes out in this really weird. I'm not saying what he did was right or what he did was justifiable, but that, you can look at the reasons behind it, and
Yeah.
it's because of this mental
No
illness.
support, pretty much, like to deal with any of
Well, he
it.
was
Yeah.
isolated. He was his mother, there's a lot of there's stuff there with his mother.
Yeah.
Joey, what did you think?
What do you think, Joey?
I will say the first episode, I was just like, okay, wow, that was a lot. And then
His butt. Did you enjoy that?
Showing a butt just to show a butt, I think it's getting. I mean, strictly in a Ryan Murphy sense, is not like all these people. Like I get, gay emails that are like, "Did you hear Charlie Hunnam showed his butt?" I was like murdered people and skinned them alive. Like I'm not.
I'm sure they were all saying, "Can I say something? Can I say something?"
No, but if everybody wants to see Charlie Hunnam's butt, watch the first episode of Queer as Folk from the UK from like 2000, whatever. You see his butthole get licked. So watch that. Earning that parental advisory warning on this episode.
Wow.
If you want to see that, if you want to see Twink Charlie Hunnam get a rim job, Queer as Folk is for you. Episode two, which deals with Psycho and Hitchcock and Hitchcock's relationship with Anthony Perkins, I find that fascinating.
Yes.
I kind of wish, I feel like you could even mine an entire movie or hour long something about how, because I was like Googling like crazy in the middle of watching the episode. I was like, did Alfred Hitchcock know that Anthony Perkins was gay? And apparently he did. And he sort of is just like, because of the time of how people viewed homosexuality, the way that they would express to gay people, or talk about gay people in terms of like, well, you're perversions, you're disturbed. That's how everybody talks in the show, by the way, in case everybody's wondering. That is an accurate representation of the accent work. But the I find that brutally fascinating. I'm now that you say that is only like two episodes, I'm gonna be really nervous to go back into the flaying of the skin and the Nazi imagery and the human flesh lampshades, chair seats with nipples on them. So
Or the did you get to the freezer full of
I took a video
vulvas?
of Alfred.
It's really gross.
There's a scene, Megan, where Alfred Hitchcock takes Anthony Perkins onto the set, like the accurate set of Ed Gein's home, and they're like, take a video. I'm gonna put it on TikTok. You'll see it. Where they're like,
Okay.
the way you see,
Do you have commentary on it too? I always love your
no, but I
analysis.
should. But seeing Tom
Oh, watch it
Hollander
again with commentary,
in
please.
like
Oh.
his like insane prosthetic face, going, those are eight dismembered vulvas. I don't even know what accent that is, but he says, I took a video of it and I had to make sure to stop the video before said prosthetic vulvas popped up on screen because I didn't want to get people mad at me on TikTok. But I'm intrigued by it, but I'm going very slowly. My friend who I work with told me, she asked me where I was. I was like, I'm on episode two. And she's like, episode three. She said, there's something with the babysitter and it's fucking disgusting and disturbing. And I was like, great. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Oh, there's something that is so perversely funny and disturbing all at once that I'm just like, I don't even know how to process. I don't know how to react to it. It's a lot. There's a scene that's a lot where he yeah. Anyway, I don't want to spoil anything.
Do the vulvas come back?
I haven't seen the vulvas again yet.
Ah,
The freezer full of
what?
vulvas.
I couldn't find the freezer full of vulvas on IMDb, so maybe that's their only part. A cameo.
That's also the name of my one-woman show, A Freezer Full of
No, it's the name of my band, my
Vulvas.
all lesbian band, A Freezer Full of Vulvas.
I do like Tom Hollander as Hitchcock. I think he, in the probably sewn together the 45 minutes of Hitchcock material that you get across the two or three episodes. It is better than the entire film that came out with Anthony Hopkins and Helen Mirren.
I was gonna say that it was just like, it was like, did you want to see Hitchcock, but we're don't really like Helen Mirren? Watch 12 Minutes of Monster Season 3.
But he's really good, and
Yeah.
the guy that plays Anthony Perkins is very good.
He was
Charlie
on
Hunnam.
American Crime. He was one of the bullies in season two who bullied Connor Jessup.
There you go.
Wow, I can't believe you
Joey
remember that.
Polari.
Wow. You have a really good memory.
I just know who gay people are.
You're making me
Charlie
want to
Hunnam.
watch this show, though. Like,
It
watch episode
is.
two because there's something the how they tackle the shower scene from Psycho. I was like riveted by that, how they did that, and it's directed by Max Winkler, who's been sort of
Oh, Max Winkler did the first one too.
yeah
Yeah.
he did he did like he's worked on I think the last season he worked on Menendez Brothers. He worked on Grotesquerie. He's very much he's a really good fit for like the Ryan Murphy universe, I think.
Also, Vicky Creeps showing up. I
Did
was
not
like,
recognize her at all.
I kept thinking, how would she, is she slumming it? I just feel like she could do whatever she
You
wants. Why is she in this?
neither of you are ready for Leslie Manville.
She's on this
Leslie
too?
Manville, yes, she is his last victim, and she is wild.
Phantom Thread
Ooh.
reunion.
It is a
Does
wild
Daniel Day-Lewis play
performance.
the freezer full of bulbas?
I say nothing. I know nothing.
Oh, wow.
She is wild
Interesting.
in it. I'll just say that.
Cool. I
She,
can't. Okay, now I have to keep watching this. Great.
someone
Thanks.
give Leslie Manville a film role, please.
Yeah, I love her.
If you ever wanted to see Charlie Hunnam and Leslie Manville go doggy style, this is your opportunity.
That is exactly what I wanted.
I'm gonna mark that off my list.
Yes.
Bucket list check.
Good for
I have no
you.
idea what the Television Academy is going to do with this. I really don't. This is all over the place. I just don't
I feel
even
like we
know.
thought that about Menendez Brothers too, but Menendez
Yeah, but
Brothers,
they
I was.
clearly, yeah. Or
Well,
don't you
but.
remember the dream sequence and the like? Joey and I did live. We were watching clips and recording it and talking back and forth. That was one of my most fun memories, like from last year, I think. I loved it.
Well, I didn't
No
see
comment.
Menendez Brothers, so no idea. But
We'll
I have
send you
no
the links
idea.
to the TikToks.
Yeah, we'll let yeah.
They're insane. That's the only Menendez
Very
Brothers stuff you need to watch.
homoerotic. It's gonna make you very uncomfortable because I was very uncomfortable.
I was
Yeah.
very comfortable.
I can only imagine.
Wow.
I'm sure once we finish it, we'll come back to the conversation about what the Television Academy will do. Megan, give us a couple of minutes on the chair company to wrap
Sure, it
up.
won't take me too long. I do want to say that I want this officially to be the start of Tim Robinson's Outstanding Actor in a Comedy Series campaign for an Emmy because I think he's incredible. The Chair Company is, if you like Tim Robinson, you'll like this. He stars as this guy named Ron who has this big presentation he's supposed to give at work. And he falls out of his the chair, completely breaks right after the presentation in front of all these people. And he's embarrassed. And he even says something stupid like, I guess I shouldn't have had that extra Cheez-It today. That's his line that he says. And he is just so determined to like figure out why that
It's so
chair
stupid.
broke. Yeah. And like, but then like when he like looks up the chair company and wants to say, hey, like your chair broke. Somebody could get hurt, then people are telling him, don't look up the chair company. Don't, whatever you do, don't look up the chair company. So there's some sort of weird conspiracy. So now he's
Oh.
like, yeah, you have to see the first. It's so silly and dumb, but only Tim Robinson can do it. But it's also emotional too, because his daughter, played by Sophia Lillis, is getting married. And so he's watching, there's this great scene where he's like watching this montage to Jim Croce's I Got a Name. And it's like his daughter and his kids and stuff, and he's like looking at YouTube comments of the song, and they're like, "Life goes by too fast," and he's like, and he's crying, and he's like, "It fucking does." He's just like commenting on it and crying and sobbing, and it's so funny. But I'm like, it's emotional too. Tim Robinson is such a good comedic actor, so I implore everybody to watch it. I think it's great. I'm also obsessed with the old man on it who has like. He decides that he's going to start blowing bubbles at work because it makes him happy. So he has like a little necklace with bubbles and he just blows on it all day and everybody's just looking at him. It's so silly. It's so great. So the Emmy campaign for Tim Robinson starts now. And that's all I got to say.
Excellent. All right, let's jump to the flash forward to the media we are most anticipating in the upcoming weekend. We're going to keep this fast. Joey, go.
I'm started Your Favorite Scary Movie by Ashley Collins. And I never finished Fall of the House of Usher. So Jason and I have been watching it this week. Megan, go, pass.
I have screeners that I need to watch. I'm trying to think, just probably catching up on TV and that's about it. Just less. I finally watched the Perfect Neighbor documentary, which we can
Didn't
talk
watch
about
that.
at a later date, which is really good. So I've got some screeners to watch of other documentaries, and that's about it.
All right. Nothing in the film world that I am looking forward to. I do want to see Spider-Woman, but I'm waiting. I might go see it in the theater just because I want to go to a theater and be by myself. TV, I want to finish Monster, Halloween
Oh,
Baking
yeah.
Ch Championship, of course. I did not know how much I needed 911 Nashville in my life until last Thursday night. It is quite
That
possibly the
new.
worst television that I, it is the worst television show I have ever seen in my life, but it is so amazing in every way. It's so inexplicably bad in its
Another
filming
poll quote.
and its construction and its writing and its performances. You have Leanne Rimes playing a white
No.
trash,
Leanne Rimes. No, no, no,
hung up country
no,
singer. No, no.
no. We reject this. We reject.
You have a scene in which a cadre of brides, excuse me, a bride and her bridesmaids are riding one of those scooter, the booze, cycling booze things down a street in Nashville, and it gets out of their way and they run into traffic and they get hit by a car, and then it says 911, bridesmaids bloodied on Broadway. It's
Oh my
I
God.
hate it.
It does look like something. I have watched it before. I watched it like a
No,
baby
this
went
is
down the
brand new.
toilet.
This is brand new show. There
Oh,
was
but it's like,
the
but I know that it's crazy, is what I'm saying. Like the
yeah,
format
it's
is like the craziest stories.
right.
Yes.
So the 911 that has aired for like 9 years, that is now on ABC, is Citizen Kane compared to the show. Because it has Angela Bassett saying things like, "That's a damn serial killer." So anyway, I need that in my life. It's Thursday nights. And books, I am reading the soon to be Jennifer Lawrence and Leonardo DiCaprio film, What Happens at Night, which will be directed by Martin Scorsese. If I had to write a tagline, it would be Revolutionary Road taking place at the Overlook Hotel.
Oh, I'm in. Is
Oh,
this
I'm
based on
in. Yep.
something? Is this a book?
It's a book. Yes, that's
What
the
is
book.
it?
I'm reading the book. It's
Sorry,
What
and the
Happens at
title is
Night by
What
Peter
Happens?
Cameron. What
Hmm.
happens at night? I'm literally
So
ordering
there you
that
go.
right now.
So does that cover it?
Yeah.
Yes. I
All
also
right.
realized the thing I'm most looking forward to is getting my remote so I can watch my TV.
Oh my
And
God.
putting it in a high place so that doggy
Yes,
can't
putting it in
chew
a
it.
high place. Yeah. So.
All right. So let's get the hell out of here. So we are the three M's, the contending co-founders, Clarence Moy, Megan McLaughlin, and Joey Moser. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us, click like and subscribe on the video on YouTube or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.